Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello there. Welcome back to the West London Sport QPR podcast. The morning after Rangers' frustrating 0-0 draw against a resolute 10-man Plymouth at Loftus Road. While picking up only a point from the match was disappointing, it was a third clean sheet in succession and makes it one defeat from seven matches under Marty Cifuentes. The Spaniard labelled the performance as terrible, and while his team struggled to break down the Pilgrims, you have to give credit to Stephen Schumacher's side for a backs-against-the-wall defensive effort in the second period when the match was played almost entirely in their half. The point wasn't enough to take Rangers out of the bottom three, but after Saturday's excellent 2-0 win over Hull, the mood around the club is immeasurably better. And for me, last night should be placed in the just one of those nights brackets, and a point is better than nothing. I'm joined once again by former Rangers skipper Kevin Gallen. I know you were unable to make the game last night, Kev, but you did watch it from home. What were your thoughts on what you saw? It was probably the worst performance maybe under Marty's brief reign.
Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, we didn't lose. That's really important. So these games are quite tricky. Plymouth actually impressed me a bit, considering they haven't won away from home all season. And they started the better. And they had a really good chance where this striker would be very disappointed that he didn't hit the target. It was one of those chances where you expect him to score. Thankfully, he didn't. And then, the sending off, and you're looking at the sending off and you're thinking, well, can we do what we did against Stoke when against 10 men? And fair play to Plymouth. They defended deep. They defended, resolutely, like you said. And they'll be happy with a point where we'll be a little bit disappointed because of the last three games winning. And down to 10 men, we're pretty much, an hour to play, maybe a bit more. And you'd expect QPR to go and win that game. And it just wasn't to be. And I was a little bit surprised at the team sheet when I looked at the team selection, and it's a strange one. I don't know, you might know more. There might be a few niggles in some players, or he might be saving them for Saturday and sort of rotating. But I was very surprised to see Kelman play ahead of Smith, where Smith, he has got that pace and that direct style of running that can cause teams problems. And, where I think the manager's subs have been really good over since he's been here. I thought, he could have brought on Sinclair Armstrong a little bit earlier, just to maybe rough up the defenders to create something for, another player. Sometimes in the last 5, 10, 15 minutes, you just got to sling the ball in the box and, you get a challenge and it might drop for you. Like a little bit, Stoke game, and thought we could have maybe have done that sub a little bit earlier. I know people would say, well, they're defending deep and Sinclair Armstrong really needs space to run into, and I understand that. But you're down to 10 men, I always feel you sort of, stick on another striker, you know, just to cause, you know, that back four of theirs a little bit more problems. But fair play to them. They done well, Plymouth, to get a point in the end. And a little bit disappointed because of, you know, down to 10 men and been playing really sort of, well, playing well and picking up really good results in the last two or three weeks. So, but a point's a point. And then you move on to Saturday against Sheffield Wednesday away, which again is a massive game. All games are massive at the moment for QPR because we're still in that relegation zone. And the quicker you're out of it, the better.
Yeah, and so Fuentes, he was pretty critical actually after the game of the performance. You know, as I mentioned, he laboured it terribly. And I'll just play back now what some of these comments from last night.
The start of the game was very poor. The first 15 minutes were perhaps the worst 15 minutes in diving here. Were terrible. We conceded a lot of turnovers, chances for them. So in that sense, we could say that we were lucky to be 0-0 in the half time because it was not a good first half. Then in the second half, it's true, we push much more. I think that obviously Plymouth must defend very well in a low block, very difficult to really penetrate and create clear chances. But still, we could say that one of them, Lyndon, got a couple of headers. I think that it's a very good block from them in a situation, cut back from Ely and Chrissy can shoot. We got the situations, but not as clear as we should. We miss a little bit that last touch, that quality that we had in other games. And that's why in one of those days, and okay, we still got a point. We were very disappointed. The guys were really disappointed about getting only 1 point today, which is a good signal. But at the same time, of course, when we look back, it has not been a good performance, I would say.
So, Kevin, I mean, they call it nowadays, the modern vernacular is low block, but, you know, I just call it sticking 10 men behind the ball or 9 men behind the ball. And yeah, just sit in and go, you know, and, you know, fair play. They blocked everything. They put bodies on the line. And I think Rangers run out of ideas a little bit. It just seemed a bit kind of, I mean.
I played in games like that. And I played in games where they're down to 10 men and they sit deep. And it's hard because it's hard to get around them. That's why you try and maybe do sort of overloads on the wings where, you know, you might have that extra man where you have an overlap and try and get the ball and then cut it back and stuff. Or you go a little bit longer and have a little fight in the box. But it's difficult. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes when you're playing against 10 men, it can be difficult. And I played for QPR when we've had 10 men and made it really difficult for the opposition. But it's just one of those games. You're right, I think they did sort of, you know, run out of ideas. And this is where you're sort of looking for Ilias Chair or Chris Willock to produce some magic from outside the box, like Chris Willock did against Hull on Saturday, where, you know, he curled one into the corner. You're looking for one of your technical players to, you know, beat a man and get a strike in and score a goal. And it just wasn't to be. And these things happen, and there'll be plenty of these games in those players' careers where that happens as well, you just break down the opposition team.
Yeah, like you, I was a bit surprised at the lineup. I mean, Kelman, he needs to look at players, I suppose, and he's seeing players in training, and he's said before that he's very keen to give everyone sort of a, you know, a fair crack of the whip. And, you know, he had that chance in the first half, and I just think he at the back post, and if he'd have been a bit more, I guess, decisive and a little bit more, you know, and attacked it, he might have scored. But he just seemed to
I thought he should have scored that. But the thing with playing Kelman is he's not really a right winger. He hasn't really got the legs to be a right winger. He's a centre forward or playing off a centre forward, a little bit, you know, big man, little man combination. For me, he's not a right winger because he hasn't really got the mobility or pace to go past players. If, you know, his end product at times can be very hit and miss, but one thing he does, he can run past someone and gives you that sort of, gets the crowd on the feet and back him up where, you know, a bit of excitement. And, you know, if you're a left back, the last thing you want is someone who's really quick and really direct and really wants to run past you all the time. You don't need that, that player up against you where constantly wants to run in behind. So very, very surprised selection for me, that was.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, Plymouth made 8 changes from their side. They got beat 4-0 at Leicester. And I think, you know, given, you know, it's a big game at Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. And I think with Cannon, Reggie Cannon, I mean, the fact he has had no pre-season, I think they've just been minding on the side of caution, really, because, I mean, how big an issue is that when you haven't had a pre-season playing catch-up to, I mean, do you get it during matches, or is it, I mean, I know they look at loads and all this other kind of red zones and stuff now. I mean,
it depends on the individual, and Cannon seems to me, looks, you know, from, I don't know the ins and outs of, but he looks pretty athletic player. Doesn't carry any weight, hasn't got, you know, he doesn't, some players need regular training, regular matches to get up to speed. He might be, but he seems to be a very fit lad. But yeah, missing pre-season is, you know, it's not the be and an end all, but you need to get that pre-season in. It does help, but in the end, always match playing matches is where you get your real football fitness, and the more he plays, the fitter he'll become. And he obviously, the medical staff obviously feel that, you know, he isn't capable of playing Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, whatever it is. So, you know, it is a 3 games in a week. So they probably rested him, and I would be surprised. I won't be surprised if he starts on Saturday.
Yeah, I think likewise with Jake Clark Salter. Again, I've just got to be so careful with him. You know the problems he's had with injuries on that. And I don't really mind that move, just keeping fresh for Saturday. You know, home game, Jimmy Dunn did okay. I didn't mind that switch, but
it's interesting. It's interesting because the manager probably thought, I can make these changes and I still think we're going to win. That's what I'm just thinking, what he's in his head, because these changes I'm making, I'll take Jack Clark Salter out, I'll save him for Saturday, where he probably thinks that's a maybe. We're at home. I still think we can win this game at home. But Saturday, if I have this team, I think we can beat Sheffield Wednesday. Big pitch. They're struggling. You know, it's a big game for both teams. And he probably feels like he'll put out, I'd say, put out a different team. I expect Jake Clark Salter to start, Cannon to start, Smith to start.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised unless they pick up any sort of niggles or anything. If they're all fit, they'll play.
Yeah. But, I mean, we touched on it. That was an excellent 2-0 win over a very decent Hull side, to be fair. I was impressed with Hull. But I thought Rangers did very well in that game. Two excellent goals. And I mean, the clean sheets. I know last night you sort of go, you're at home, you should win against 10 men. But I don't think it should be underestimated, the kind of importance of just kind of that solidity at the back, just not conceding. Because particularly when you are down the bottom, goal difference is such an important thing, isn't it? And just sort of, you know, getting that back towards a bit more closer to parity than, you know, than it was 6 weeks ago is quite important.
Clean sheets is, it's obviously to say, but the goalkeeper, the, you know, these are the things like, so you've got your strikers, your attacking players, and you're judged on your assists and your goals. Goalkeepers are judged on clean sheets. Your defence are judged on clean sheets. But it's a team thing as well, where, you know, we have looked a lot more solid. I believe a little bit lucky where, that, you know, on last night, the bloke should have scored in the first, you know, when that one, when he was clean.
Yeah, that was a horrible miss, wasn't it? That was Jordan Hugo-less, that miss.
Yeah, so, I mean, a little bit of luck also helps. And Begovic on Saturday was man of the match because he made some really, really good saves against a really good Hull team. But that breeds confidence. And they'll be going into the game now, Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah, we didn't win against Plymouth, but we've got a good chance of winning here. And let's, you know, we're looking solid at the back. The threat going forward. So, you know, I'm expecting a good result on Saturday. But it'll be tough because they're desperate for it as well.
Yeah. It felt at times in the second half, it was a bit how it was under Mark Warburton at times, sort of, you know, overplaying a little bit. But I guess when the team's sitting so deep, you almost have to make those angles and keep pulling and probing and keeping the ball. It was, you know, a lot of people sit around me were kind of roaring for get in the box. But you kind of, if sometimes just putting it, lumping it in the box, you know, you're just giving the ball away, aren't you? You kind of,
yeah, I mean, you know,
when the moment.
When I played, and it's probably the same, it's like when you're playing against 10 men and they're sitting in deep, you've got to move the ball quick. One on two charts, move the ball quick and try and tire them out a little bit for when you do get a 2v1 or a 1v1 situation. And that, you know, because they've been chasing the ball so much, you know, they're a little bit fatigued, or someone will take a chance and won't go with a runner because they're a little bit tired because they've been chasing the ball around for the last 10, 15 minutes. And that's why you move the ball quick. You know, don't take too many touches. Move the ball side to side and then, like you say, probe. You find your chance. But then sometimes the ball does have to get in the box. But there's no point in just putting the ball in the box if there's only one person in there. You've got to have a few men. That's why I thought, you know, brought in Sinclair Armstrong a little bit earlier. Just, you know, you put the ball in, you challenge, it gets a knockdown. And sometimes, you know, you can get a goal from that. But, you know, it's like everything's in hindsight, isn't it?
So,
over now.
But overall, do you think more positive than negative over the last sort of from last night?
I feel a lot more positive because not only we're picking up points and winning games, we're keeping clean sheets. Willock looks to be getting back to form, some sort of, you know, what he was like a year ago or 13, 14 months ago. So that's a big positive. Ilias Chair looks a different player now from the start of the season. Looks like a lot more confidence. But also the main, another main thing is the confidence in the crowd. Yeah. In the stadium. You know what I mean? It's a big thing, Ian, you know, when everyone's up for it and you got that confidence, or where before it was just like, oh, when are we going to concede? And it's all doom and gloom. So we're moving on the right track. It's going to be still tough. This league is tough. You know, you've got to keep your best players fit. I think we're, in the end, we will get out of this relegation and I think we'll stay up. But, you know, you got to keep your players fit, a little bit of luck with injuries to key players. I'm quietly confident that we'll get out of this situation and we'll be still in the Championship next year.
Sure. So, while the first team were labouring for a goal in West London, up in Wolverhampton, the under-18s enjoyed a brilliant night at Molineux, booking their spot in the fourth round of the FA Youth Cup. It was a match that lasted longer than a Leonard Cohen Greatest Hits album. It was nearly 3 hours long. It was, it was one all after 90 minutes with Rami Buhahi putting Rangers in front. And it looked like it was going to be Wolves that were going through after going 2-1 up in extra time. But an absolutely belting strike from a centre-back called Tyler Edmondson, you know, from the edge of the box into the roof of the net, took the match to extra time. And 23 spot kicks later, with both goalkeepers missing the chance to win the game with their feet, Tyler Young, who's the son of Everton's Ashley Young, how old does that make you feel, showed great composure to slot home the winner. So, a brilliant night for the youngsters. And they play either Burnley or Birmingham at Loftus Road in the next round. And, you know, some great experience for those youngsters, you know, playing at, you know, Premier League ground and, you know, coming away with a great win. What are your memories of playing in the Youth Cup, Kev?
Not great. No, yeah, all right, not bad. We got a quarter final when I was a schoolboy. That was, and then we went to Wimbledon and we lost where we should have won. We were a better team. You know, it was one of those nights where they scored a fluky goal. We just couldn't score. Very disappointing. But no, for those lads who went to Wolves, they'll remember that, I'm sure, for the rest of their lives, whether they make it as a player or not. They can always, you know, look back. I played at Wolves, played extra time. I played at 23 spot kicks. That's some going that. did no one score? Did everyone score or did no one score? I'd like to see who scored or who didn't.
Rangers scored the first two, Wolves missed the next two, and then it was sudden death for about 10 spot kicks, and some of the spot kicks were really good, actually, the latter ones. And then it was down to the goalkeepers, and QPR's keeper, his penalty was saved, and then the giant Wolves keeper, who looked about 6'10", had stepped up and blazed it miles over the bar. So it was kind of... I think it finished about 11:30 at night. It was ridiculous.
It was really a real good experience for them, lads. I'll never forget that. And fair play to them. And if you got the dates of the home for the next leg, I will try and get down to that.
Sure. I don't think it's been announced yet what the date is. But, I mean, there's one of the young lads in the team who scored, a lad called Fraser Neal. He's only 15. He had to be taken out of school for the day to go up on the bus to Wolverhampton and kept his nerve and slotted home a fine penalty. So, that's an amazing achievement, really, just for these
players. I bet that lad there going into school today, what a come down. I was like, played at Wolves last night. No, you didn't. Stop lying. But yeah, you'd be getting a video out. Look, look. Sitting in maths. Oh, poor lad. The highs and lows of the schoolboy. Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me a few times. I remember playing at Cardiff. I had to leave school early. And then the next day, you know, go back into school as if, you know, nothing happened. But yeah, fair play to him. 15. That's excellent. Again, he'll remember that for the rest of his life. So I'm talking about when I was 16 and I went to Cardiff. So I still remember that we won and had to get on the coach from the way down. So fair play. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I'll try and come to that home game and have a look.
Because they try and make it as close to the first team as possible, don't they? I think they go up on the team bus and
Is it
how it works?
Well, they'll try and replicate. So they'll probably go up early. They probably, I would say, had lunch, then probably had a little sleep in the hotel and then go to the game. That's what the first team would do. Yeah. Go up in the morning, lunch, sleep, tea and toast, and go to the match.
But I mean, you said to me, sort of, you know, we'll film that that pitch at Molineux is enormous. So, I mean, those boys slept well last night.
Well, that's the thing. See, that they wouldn't, you say that, but the adrenaline, maybe they might have calmed down. But I remember, if you played on, and this is even when I was not even a kid, when I was a pro, when you played in a midweek game in the evening, you just couldn't get to sleep. You couldn't, honestly, you'd literally, because the adrenaline of the match is, you just, I remember when my first ever game for QPR against Sheffield Wednesday, and we won and I scored the winner, I was absolutely knackered. I couldn't get to sleep till about 3 or 4 in the morning. Just the adrenaline and just going over the game. And sometimes you sort of have to have when I got older, you'd have a couple of beers just to settle you down and just, because you couldn't sleep, the adrenaline is so high from the match. So those lads, you know, would have been, especially on the way home as well, because of the winning the penalties, they'd have been on such a high, they'd have been having such a great laugh, and then, you know, probably go home to bed and just reliving the whole in your head. And that lad, that's probably, who's gone to school today, he's probably absolutely knackered. He's probably at the back of the class doing this.
But I mean, that youth team you played in that got to the quarterfinals, was that Danny DiCio and
Dougie? As well? My brother Steve was the captain. We had a pretty good team, and we blew it. We blew it. Yeah, poor. And then in my second year, we lost to Ipswich, and we actually were, Arsenal won the Youth Cup that year, but we were a better team than Arsenal. We beat them twice in the South East Counties. But they actually won the Youth Cup. We lost to Ipswich. And unfortunately, it was 1-1 with like a minute to go and our keeper dropped one. So we're going to take them back to Loftus Road and we would have beat them. Yeah. And our keeper dropped one. And yeah, we were knocked out. That was disappointing because we actually probably would have been one of the favourites to win that, because Arsenal ended up winning them. We beat them twice in the league that season.
Yeah. Was Michael Meeker in that team as well?
No, Michael Meeker he's a few years older. He's about 4 or 5 years older. So, he was a bit before my time. But yeah, it was disappointing that second year, when I was a second year, because we had a decent team. Me, you had Trevor Chalice, Matthew Brazier, God rest his soul, and Chris Plummer, who all sort of played in QPR's first team on stage. So yeah, disappointing. But, you know, great when you're playing. When you're in a youth team and you're playing at these stadiums, it's just, you're absolutely buzzing because you sort of want to, your end goal is to get in the first team and play regular at stadiums. And we used to play our home games at Guinness. Guinness Park Royal, where there was a pitch there. And then you go and play, you know, Ipswich. Or I remember we went and played at Leeds and stuff, and you see the grounds, like, you think you've hit the big time. That problem is there's no one in there. A shell of a ground. But no, great experience for those lads. Good and stuff. They want more of it. And then if they want more of it, they got to go and then beat Burnley and then, you know, or Birmingham, and then you're into another ground.
Yeah. I mean, those sort of games, did you prefer playing at the game at Loftus Road, or is it kind of more of a more fun to go and play away from home at a big ground?
No, I would love to know. Playing at Loftus Road was great as well. Yeah, it's great when you're a kid, but also you want to play at every ground, don't you? So they'll be, so if they beat Burnley or Birmingham in the next round, they'll be like thinking, who are we going to get? And I know the mentality of those, because I was the same. You'd be giving it, you want Tottenham away, Man United away, Man City away. You know, the big, you don't want to play in them big grounds. That's what you want to do. You want to play. You're like, you're thinking, can we get them? It's the same like in the FA Cup where the lower league teams, and they get a Man United away and they're all dancing about because it's a once in a lifetime for them to play at that stadium.
Yeah, I've actually just got a message from Fraser's dad, Russell. He actually turned 16 2 weeks ago, and he said he's quite miffed because he would have sounded better if he was 15 and winning at Molineux rather than 16. So, you know, the perils of youth, eh?
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Right, so big game on Saturday, trip to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah,
they picked up under a new manager, but, you know, they had a bad result last night. They lost 3-1 to, I can't remember who they lost to, but they lost anyway. Is it too early for a six-pointer?
Well, they desperately need to beat to win, don't they? Let's be fair. Let's have a look who they lost. They lost to. Oh, they played on Tuesday, didn't they?
Yeah.
Can't see them. They're off the coupon. No, they lost 3-1. They're desperate. They desperately need to win, don't they? Let's be fair, because we're above them, 7 points above them. You know, I think we can beat them. I think if we play well, it's a really big pitch as well. If we move the ball quicker, move the run, get them running around, I think we can beat them. It'll be tough because they'll be up for it and they'll be thinking, yeah, I think it's a six-pointer for them. I don't think it's a six-pointer for us yet, but I think it's a six-pointer for them because, you know, we beat them. We're now 10 points ahead of them. That's big number to claw back, and we get out of the bottom three probably.
Yeah, I think they're doing a ticket discount up there for the home fans as well, so they'll probably be a decent crowd. So it's going to be a difficult game. I mean, they've still got a player that always impresses me. He's around forever, Barry Bannon, still pulling the strings in their midfield. So they've got some, you know, some decent players, and they've had a terrible start to the season, but this. You know, they beat Blackburn last home game 3-1, and Blackburn are no mugs. That's a decent win. So this, you know, I think they won. And they beat Stoke last week as well. So they're in a little bit of form.
Yeah, they've had a poor start, but they're picking up a little bit. And they probably they're probably in a situation when change of new manager picked up a little bit. QPR new manager picked up a lot. I think we've got the ability. I think he rested a few players last night. I think they'll be raring to go. I think Jake Clark-Sawyer will come in, and big pitch will probably suit him pace-wise and suit the team. Reggie Cannon, very quick. Lot of space. Paul Smith, again, got pace. Mm-hmm. He's probably rested them last night for this game on Saturday against Sheffield Wednesday. Wouldn't be surprised to see Sinclair Armstrong coming on a little bit earlier, depending, because of space in behind, away from home. So, yeah, it'd be tough. All games are tough. All games are very tough in the Championship. They really are. I mean, Plymouth last night, you would have expected QPR to win. Didn't happen because they were resolute. They were tough. And they had a really, really good go. So, I do expect, I fancy QPR 2-1. Ian, being confident.
Yeah. With Sinclair Armstrong, I don't think you started since Fuentes took over. I know you said before you think he should be out on loan somewhere, but you know, Rangers don't have an abundance of strikers. Do you think he's better suited to being an impact player off the bench, coming on sort of half an hour, or do you think he should be starting?
No, I don't think he should be starting. Because when he has started, I don't think he's done too... He hasn't impressed me that much. I do think he's an impact player. And the only reason I'm saying he should be out on loan is for his development and for his benefit. Mm. But I understand why he's not on the loan. And this is the club's problem and the club's fault that they haven't got enough centre-forwards at the club. Mm. Now, if you had another two centre-forwards at the club, then you let Sinclair Armstrong go out on loan. But they haven't. So it's only basically it's Dykes and Sinclair Armstrong. You got two. That needs to be rectified for me in the January transfer window. They need to get at least one centre forward in. There's things. What if Dykes gets injured?
Mm.
We're talking about rotating the team. Everyone else is sort of getting rotated, but Dykes isn't because he's the only real centre forward at the club. Senior one, where Sinclair Armstrong's a kid. Loss of form. So you need some centre forwards there. One to push the other centre forward, saying, "Well, if you know what I mean, if you're not performing, I'm ready to come in and step in and take your place and keep you on your toes." So definitely need some centre forwards. Sinclair Armstrong for me definitely more suited as an impact player, and even more suited if QPR are winning on Saturday with 20 minutes to go and defending a little bit deep, conceding a bit of possession, where then you can put that ball in that channel for him to chase after it and get out the pitch. And that suits him better. That's what he suits him better, when he's running into the channels to get the ball.
Yeah. And that's precisely what happened against Hull. You know, Hull were on top, and it was, his hassling of the goalkeeper led to Ilias Chair's second goal. So, yeah, agree. But I think, you know, they didn't sign anyone on loan in the summer. Now, the reason for that, was it financial? Was it clubs are unwilling to let players come to QPR? I don't know. But they have to look at that now, don't they? Because, there isn't really loads of money to spend with a financial fair play situation. But the loan market is there to be used. And I think you're more likely to have to get a player in January without having to pay a loan fee to a club than you are in August. So I'm guessing that's the direction they're going to go into.
Oh, yeah, 100% there. They need to get a few loan players in. The only problem is there ain't that many. Everyone's after strikers. And
yeah,
what can you get? And are you going to get a player who's better than what you got? Or are you just going to are you going to get someone in just to fill the squad? And there's a lot of things where, you know, if you don't play, you know, the Premier League's teams do this, is, you know, they sort of put a fine on a club where if you don't play, the player, you've got to pay double.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So it's like, if you're going to take this player, you've got to play him. Unless you don't play him, you know, say we've taken a loan for $5,000 a week, he don't play, it's 10. And then you're like, wow. So it's one of those. And be interesting to see where the manager might have someone in mind from where he was in Sweden, who he fancied. And he will know that market a lot more than any of us.
Yeah. I mean, it could be an option. I mean, there's no perhaps getting someone on loan from in Sweden, because their season's actually finished. So they don't restart until, I think it's April. But again, they're going to want their players for the start of their season. So maybe that's not an option. But, you know, perhaps maybe even like a 3 month loan or something. You know, that could be a direction that they go to. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny though, isn't it? Because there does seem to be the out-and-out goal scorers. There aren't many around anymore. The old school number nines. You think of Haaland and you think of probably Ivan Toney at Brentford. But there isn't really any...
Well, this is the thing. Discussions about in academies, there's no sense, because everyone plays with one up front. Yeah, now that's the sort of the fashion, one up front. Not many teams play with two. They don't develop strikers, as in everyone's a number 10 or everyone's a winger. There ain't that many strikers getting developed. And I heard Arsene Wenger talk about this, because he works for UEFA or FIFA. He said, we're not developing any centre forwards anymore. And it's true, because you go to academy. So if you, in the old days, the olden days, well, in the old days, you'd have, say you're playing 4-4-2, you'd have two strikers, and then you'd have two on the bench, probably. So you'd have four strikers in your team. Now you play with one striker, and then you have one on the bench. So you only got two. So you, two from the old days, two are missing. You're not developing strikers anymore. It, honestly, you go to academies now, all they do is keep balls. Everyone's, you know, really technically good on the ball, but there's no, they don't like do shooting practices and stuff. Well, not what I've seen. It's all more like teamwork. When I played, and I was lucky in the youth team, Jerry Francis' dad, Roy Francis, used to come in twice a week. And Des Baulpin, our youth team manager, used to say, Roy, take Kevin and Danny Dicho, take those two and just do finishing for an hour while everyone was doing their normal training. So me, Danielle, or Dougie Freeman, we used to just go and do finishing with Roy. It was brilliant. I loved it with a goalkeeper. It doesn't seem to happen anymore. There is a lack of centre forwards out in the country because no one's developing enough.
So look, it's like, interesting. Yeah.
So I'm going off thing, but if Harry Kane, when Harry Kane retires from England, who's going to be the number nine for England? There will be someone, but not at that level. Nowhere near that level of him. There's no centre forwards. So it's a difficult one. As in, you say to someone, you'll say to someone, well, you need a centre forward, and they'll give it, I know, but where are they? Who are they?
Yeah, because you don't even see, you know, like the old school, like the Tony Cotties, Michael Owen, those types of players, just kind of fox in the box, for want of a better phrase. It's interesting, and it's interesting what you say, because like the old school centre-backs as well, centre-backs, centre-forwards, they're almost, you know, that kind of Alan McDonald leader type sort of centre-back. You don't really see them anymore. It's all...
So goes back to QPR. So when I first started, Jerry France was the manager. We had Les Ferdinand, when I got into around the team. Les Ferdinand, Devon White, Bradley Allen, Gary Penrice, me, Danielle.
Gary Thompson still there as well?
Yeah, he was sort of but he was leaving. I mean, Dougie Freeman was sort of in the reserves. We're talking, and Gary Thompson. So I'm in the youth team. There were seven centre forwards. Dennis Bailey could play centre forward. Now, UPR got what? Linda Dykes, Sinclair Armstrong.
When Charlie Kelly.
Ian Holloway was manager, Paul Furlong, me, Tony Thorpe, Jamie Curran, four.
Yeah. I guess it's the move away from 4-4-2, isn't it? You don't really see the big man, little man.
And yeah, that was the Jerry Francis way, big man, little man combination.
Yeah, but interesting. But yeah, they do need to find a striker somewhere. They need to find someone that can just, you know, as you say, put some pressure on Dykes. But, you know, as you said, they're like liquid gold, aren't they? Trying to find someone that's going to, you know, put 15 goals a season, score 15, 20 goals a season. It's, you know.
If you score 15, 20 goals a season, you won't be playing in the Championship. You're in the Premier League.
So that's why you strikers all live in solid gold houses, isn't it, Kev?
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I was born 20 years too early.
Right. I'm going to go with I'm going up to Hillsborough on Saturday for the game for West London Sport. I'm going to go. Yeah, I think it'll be a narrow 2-1 win Rangers as well. I think it's going to be nervy, but I think you've got to look about how they played against Preston. If they can replicate that, then
I think Preston, that's what we'll try and do. I think he'll keep it solid first half, and then try and dominate. You know, you said that they've got cheaper tickets, so it's going to be a big crowd. The crowd's going to be bang up for it. It'll keep them quiet and keep them anxious. And do you know what I mean? Nice and quiet, keep the ball. And then second half, see if you can open them up.
Yeah. Good stuff. Right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be doing our final pod of the year next week. We're looking back at Sheffield Wednesday game and looking ahead to the game against Southampton. But in the meantime, thanks for watching as always, and like, subscribe, and you can also find us on Spotify and on iTunes. So thanks a lot, Kevin. We'll see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.